أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وقلنا يا آدم اسكن أنت وزوجك الجنة وكلا منها رغدا حيث شئتما ولا تقربها هذه الشجرة فتكون من الظالمين. صدق الله العظيم.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, when Allah created this world, first and foremost, Allah ta'ala presented this scenario, event, which was the birth of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. After that, Allah ta'ala allowed him to stay in paradise and said, eat and drink and relax and comfort. And thirdly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave paradise, and Allah ta'ala to Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, he arranged the nikah with Hazrat Hawa alayhi salam. And this was the preparation prior to sending him into the earth, onto the earth. As this is the event at the beginning of time, before the married life began. Hazrat Adam alayhi salam wasn't sent on his own into the dunya, and Allah Ta'ala's hikmah was to send him with his companion. Allah Ta'ala wanted to populate the earth, so Allah Ta'ala made this couple, Adam alayhi salam and Hazrat Hawa alayhi salam, and he sent them together to the world. All of the world's life, you can say life, this is based on this initiation. Life in the world is based on this initiation. Marriage and married life, this is the most important, you can say, life on this world. Our home, our children, the tarbiyah, their spiritual progression, ma'ashara, environment, society, everything is based on and hinges on this relationship. If this married life is good in the home, then the home is comfortable, peaceful. Outside the home, ma'ashara, society is fine, children are fine, the country is fine. And in other words, the whole environment, society is based on the good and positive married life. So if you think now how important is this feature of life, that in the whole world, the world, the way it progresses in peace and comfort, it hinges on the married life, the husband and wife, the success of this relationship. This is a fantastic relationship. Allah, we have to live in this world. Allah sent us to this world. So tell me, without guidance and methodology on how we can live our lives, then in the world, how will we succeed with this relationship? If you look at one point about the world, I'll give you the example yesterday, that there's a machine, yes, something you purchase, with it you get the instruction booklet. You buy a car, there's a manual handbook. If you utilize that machinery wrong, against its design, it will break down, it will fail. In all circumstances, you have to follow the handbook, the guide, the manual, the principles, the rules. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also has, in this world, sent us to this world, us people, and Allah's arranged the guidance for us. And that was Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam's, his sharia and law and principles and ways. This is that instruction manual that Allah Ta'ala has given to us in this world. That wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you can live your life properly with this guidance booklet. And Allah said the beginning of this, Allah Ta'ala arranged the marriage, the mahr, the dowry, was Darud-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In other words, this was the hint, the news in advance, that so much barakat will come in their life, so many blessings will come in their life. a Muslim man and woman, all the events, all of the barakah due to the durood. That's why, in other words, the Holy Prophet ﷺ connection with him and to accept and embrace his sharia. This is the hint that Allah Ta'ala gave when he gave the mahar of the durood, and to maintain this relationship. And this is the success for the married life, to have this lifestyle. So this is the biggest guidance that was given to us, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's ittiba, obedience, following him. And those people who don't believe in Allah, obviously, then they're not going to follow the sharia, are they? Then their situation is separate or different. It's a different route. If they don't accept the sharia, then what law will they have? What guidance will they have to live the life? What will be the matter between the husband and the wife? What will be the connection between them? What will be their relationship? How will they live together, spend time together? In which way? So then you see the conclusion, what's happening around us. What's happened? When there is no principle, no law, no structure, framework, then they make their own rules and laws. Now where's the rules and the law of the world, and where's Allah's law? Tell me, how can they equate together? Look at Allah's kitab and his decisions and his court and his decisions. And where's the brain of the human being? And where is the supreme and beautiful system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Does it make sense to equate the two? Does it make sense to leave that and go towards the brain? So in the married life, where you see lack of peace, lack of harmony, you cannot imagine today. Today the whole society is destroyed, broken down. Don't know about the woman, we don't know about the man, we don't know about life, we don't know about the children. Nobody knows about principles, rules, nothing at all. Totally devoid. Ajeeb ups and downs and destruction in society today. And to hide this lack of peace, we use thousands of techniques, thousands of layers of trying to hide things. But look at the conditions around us, in front of our eyes. There's one reason. Because we have no law, no principle, no direction, no framework, no structure. Such a great structure we've been given. We leave that and we use the man-made laws, man-made opinions, man-made way of life. All, everyone's upset, down, ups and downs, issues, distress. So all of this, the nizam of the life, the system of life, the cycles of life, why have people gone astray? Because they have no system. But those people who have embraced, those who did not take Allah's laws, didn't accept Allah, didn't accept the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So us people, we have the whole system and laws. And even then we're worse than them today. Why? Because we have left this way, we have left the obedience to Allah and Rasulullah and his sharia, and we have started their naql. In other words, to this extreme, we have left the good and gone to the bad. Every Qawm nation has some, you can say, good traits and good habits and points. And yes, we could look towards that, but we don't even look at the bad or the good. We just totally mix everything up. We have left our deen and we will just do whatever they're doing. That's it. And the consequence of that is just one thing, which is divorce and quarrels and disputes on small points. The woman stands up, challenges after one. That, the, for example, even the concept of marriage has gone. They prefer friendship and partnership and colleagues, and that's what we have within us today. Yeah, we prefer to stay free, so-called freedom. And we see today the consequence, the child doesn't know who's his father, who's his mother. Yes, we have orphanages filled up with young children where the parents discard them and leave them. So if such a big punishment in the world Allah has given us for not following the sharia, accepting the sharia, this is the initiation of the world. Allah Ta'ala gave the example of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, Hawa alayhi salam's marriage, their partnership, the bond, and we've broken that and left that. We see the destruction, that we can't even see what is reality today and what's right and wrong. But for us, another point is that on any point, any quarrel, divorce, people are giving divorces to each other. Everyone you hear, oh, I've divorced, I'm a divorcee, she says or he says. Why? Because the system they have. There's a get-out clause. We've come to this country, we've come to a certain place, straight away we'll go to the court, and according to their law, in which there's no differentiation, no respect to sharia, Allah's nur, Allah's deen. They take the divorce and people are happy. Oh, I've got the house as well, and I've got these assets, I've got this much money on the divorce, and I'll get these assets and I'll get these funds. And after the divorce, they'll live with such a dishonest and horrible, hollow life. But that life of Sharia, which is connected to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the women folk, they leave that, and it's easy for them to do divorce and live their so-called lives of freedom. But Islam does give ijazah. But in hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the worst case scenario from all halal things, the worst case scenario, at the extreme point, if you're forced to, the man or the woman, if you're forced to extreme point, then go towards that realm. Don't even think about the divorce or separation. If you're extremely forced, just like there's a severe circumstance at home, there's a severe problem, it's impossible, extremely difficult to live, then start thinking about that. Even there's a tariqah, the Quran is prescribed, the time frame. Do mashwara, consult, give a chance, give an opportunity, consult again. From the boy side, mother and father come, the girl's mother and father come, they ask what's the reason to the son, to the daughter. The family is, there's a big circle of support trying to continue that marriage. Worst case scenario, what a big decision in the life of a person. Massive decision. That the family life, it breaks, it cracks. This is the foundation of family life. That you can't just give divorce that quickly, but it's so shameful to say in our society today, so prevalent is this, so prevalent. There's so much haram that after giving divorce, they come back together and say that the divorce didn't take place. They get fatwas from scholars and people who are liars or people who are false, and Maulvi Hazrat, just they go to them and they seek a way out. It's the worst, it's the haram to do this. And awful. The halala. Halala means that it's not the case the way people do it. Those people who do it, they're the worst. Allah Ta'ala said that these people are like the serpents in the hadith, the words. That's what they do, the work of haram. They make unlawful lawful. Unlawful lawful. Those people who do this, and those people who are ready to do this, professionals who give prescriptions and ways out to people away from the deen. And today we have all of this around us. And this is a punishment from Allah for this reason, that Rasulullah Sharia, we've left it. We don't know that after that, after divorce, to live together is a big sin. It's zina, adultery, and a person's then doing zina for the rest of his life, despite the divorce having taken place. Think about this. So those who give the fatwas, fine, that's for them to say what they want to say. But you should think, what's the reason for this? In the first place, the person shouldn't have done this action. He shouldn't have gone for that route, the divorce. If a person takes the Sharia of Allah, the deen of Allah, then you'll never get to that position where he's living such a life. Think. So to go towards them, why is this? Because we have followed the other way. And the effects due to us leaving Sharia, the effects have come onto our life. Allah has been punishment. Why does a person's life get spoiled? Because he has to follow the principles and the rules in life. Whereas if we see that our Sharia, our deen, it's very far from this sort of nafsiyati life. So this is a very important topic. That's why I'm talking to you about this, discussing this with you. In our society, why is the relationship between husband and wife go downhill? That's such a sacred and honorable relationship, what a beautiful relationship, which started with Allah Ta'ala, initiated in Jannah and Paradise, such a beautiful and great relationship, which is the foundation of a person's life, family life, happy life, children, you give them tarbiyah, husband and wife, they will live with each other, they'll be assistant to each other to the grave, they'll live together, and even when they go into Jannah in the hereafter, Allah hasn't said that you'll be separated, the person, for example, will live with his sister, with his mother, with his in-laws, no, the wife and the husband will live together, meet each other in Jannah. Look how for everlasting this relationship, how strong is this relationship, the husband and the wife. Allah said that this partnership, relationship, connection, if Allah Ta'ala started it from paradise, it continues into the world, and the same place go back, the husband and wife will live together in paradise. In other words, this relationship will never end. The woman that he's had nikah to is in the name of Allah, then they've stuck to each other. They cannot separate. It's very easy to fulfill this relationship. We take the laws of Sharia. It's very beautiful life, husband and wife. It's about this, a person doesn't know, it becomes difficult to maintain the relationship. But if you take the guidance from Allah, Allah's deen, then is it hard to maintain the relationship? No, shaitan, nafs, they'll come, put you off, and cracks into the relationship between husband and wife, differences and doubts. Straight away run to the Sharia. Straight away run to the Sharia for the solution. Woman attacked by shaitan, she should take hold of the sharia. And if the man is affected by shaitan, he should run to the sharia for solution instead of making noise and clamor and nafs, desires and shrieking out. No, if you have fikr akhirah, if you want success in the akhirah, take hold of the solution from the sharia. So there are many reasons for this relationship breaking down. For us, the effects of the ghaib, the strangers, are very quickly come onto us. When we leave the sharia, the conclusion that comes is that we see, I would say their way is better, this way of life is better, it's easier. Then look at the conclusion. Yeah, we've lived amongst Hindus, our culture in India, Hindustan, Indian subcontinent, Pakistan, and our deen, we've taken so many parts from their culture, marriage and barat and banging of the instruments and mendi and all this. Nothing of this is in Islam. None of this. The deen, he who bought the deen, says, he married his daughters. Did he do mendi to Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha? Did he make a gathering, mangani and drums and singing and clamor and noise? So if our life of deen, and today if we start the marriage with dancing, singing, music, women on stage, jumping up and down, a few days before men and women together, there's dancing, jumping up and down. Tell me, if the marriage starts like this, will there be barakah in that shadi, in that marriage? Their children, will they be obedient to the deen? Will they be saved from divorce and be saved from fighting, quarreling? How can it be? Impossible. If the start of that marriage, yes, this is a big part of Islam, marriage, wedding is ibadah that Allah Ta'ala has given to us via Rasulullah SAW's tariqah. How to get married. The Quran, Allah says, وَقُلْنَا يَا أَدَمُ اسْكُنْتَ زَوْجُكُ الْجَنَّةِ Subhanallah. Allah says, your woman, your wife, Allah Ta'ala introduced Adam alayhi salam to his wife in paradise. Allah says, وَقُلْنَا يَا أَدَمُ اسْكُنْتَ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكُ الْجَنَّةِ وَكُلَا مِنْهَا رَغَدًا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا. That Allah said, oh Adam, stay with your wife in Jannah. Eat freely. And today, dancing, nakedness, jumping up and down, music at the time of the marriage, shaitani, criminality, sins. If you don't go, they're upset. If you don't go to the wedding, they're upset. Yes, deendar, religious people, look at them. They go to that wedding, that function. Such a beautiful religious ceremony is the marriage. Barat, where the menfolk go to the womenfolk, so no concept in Islam, just one thing. Rasulullah demonstrated that walima after the marriage, simple, not noise, clamor, just a few people, close relatives, whoever you can call, afford, etc., bring them together to celebrate the consummation of the marriage. Walima. But we love the ways of the ghair, and the biggest effect on us is that we love sharia, and now the family arguments start from this point. Family arguments. When the marriage takes place, the husband and wife want to meet, then in the family, there's a culture, a tradition. Our own nafsiati ways, in other words, the boy's parents and the girl's parents. If they want to live together, the husband and wife, their influence is so much on the children, they don't let them say. The boy's side, his parents guide him, the girl's side guide her, and they influence him and inject him with poison, and they destroy the relationship, the marriage. They spoil, destroy the marriage. Even if the husband and wife want to make it work, this is haram after marriage. What's the style? Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha, Rasulullah sent her away. She was separate. And the daughters of the Prophet, after they got married, after nikah, look at the Sahaba Ikram, honorable Sahaba, their lives. There was no, you just live with the in-laws and dramas and stories. This is a part of akhlaq. That if a daughter comes to your home, that was the akhlaq. Okay, that's good. It's not necessary that if she has to put the burden of everybody in head. The rights, there is akhlaq. There are rights of akhlaq as well. For example, if the wife, she gets married, she goes to a home, a family, where the husband's parents, they're daif, they're weak, and they need help, assistance. Obviously, it's good for, it's not farad for her compulsory, but there is akhlaq of the girl, of the wife, is alcohol, help to earn the thawab, to earn the reward, to please her husband. This is akhlaqi, and manners, conduct. But if she will serve, obviously, and help. If from the other side, the manners are there, obviously, then the wife, the girl, she will help. But if the in-laws, the boy's parents, they're bad akhlaq, and they criticize her, and they start teaching, the mother-in-law starts teaching her son against her, she puts her against the wife, fitna, then the house is destroyed. The biggest sin is to destroy the marriage, whether it's the mother of the wife or the mother of the husband. It's the biggest sin is to break the marriage relationship. And in the Quran, very strong ahkams and rules have come in regards to this. That the let them do how they want to live. Don't interfere. The in-laws, the mother of, or the father of the boy or the girl, they stick their leg in and destroy the relationship. Soon as the marriage takes place, we think, oh, make her the servant, clean the clothes, clean the dishes, oh, clean the clothes and clean the house and clean the toilets. There's no concept of this in Islam. First and foremost, the best thing is that after marriage, the husband and wife should live separately. Separately. Who said that bring her into the home, the wife, and she lives with all of the in-laws, and you stick them in the house? Now, fitna, will it not arise? Because this is non-sharia. Is it? After marriage, yes, the daughter should leave home. She goes to the in-laws. And then the husband should be told as well, take your wife and live together. And if she meets the parents of the boy, of the husband, if the parents of the husband have good akhlaq, then she will give good akhlaq. She will give good manners and treat them nicely as well. But we don't have this concept. No, she has to stay with us and she has to work for us. You clean the dishes, you clean the clothes, clean the house and make the food and do this and that. These are all your tasks and duties. Kullun haram. This is not lawful. Don't do these actions. This is not jais. To oppress the wife. This is dhulam, to oppress the daughter-in-law or the wife of the husband. If you're not given the right haq, this is not haq, this is not your right to do this, to oppress her, to demand this woman. So for this reason, quarrels start, disputes start, fasad, then divorces result. The boy, the husband, is stupid, foolish, he is illiterate, he has no akal, and he is obeying his parents. Yes, okay, do khidmat of your parents, but don't oppress your wife. It's the haq of your parents to look after them. And to please your wife, keep your wife happy, keep your wife pleased, and serve her, but teach manners to your wife as well, and teach her manners that she should also serve your parents. It's fard on the husband now. The husband, if he's like a monkey, then how's he going to fulfill the rights of his parents or the rights of the wife? For example, if you want your wife to serve your parents, then you should keep her happy first. If you look after her, serve her, fulfill her rights, and run after her, and do extra for her, over the top, then she will obviously assist your parents and help your parents. But you can't force her, you can't push her, because that's haram. This will not occur. You can't force her to do that. My father, make food for him, make tea for my father, and don't do this, say this, this is wrong. They'll present your love to her, so she herself says that I'd like to serve your father, I'd like to serve your parents, no problem, I'll help the elder. That's how the love then increases. But automatically yourself, when the mother-in-law and the sister-in-law come and argue with your wife, no, you're staying here, you can't go home, work for us, they have no rights to this. This is not our Islamic society, this will destroy the society of Islam. Biggest destruction. So this is the balance and the justice. So this is the topic that I'm discussing this and sharing this with you brothers, everybody. So this is ma'ashara, society. Islam, Sharia, Sunnah teaches us ma'ashara, society. So we have to follow that guidance. So the thing that we have left is the deen, and we have taken the ghayr, the strange ways, is that there's no freedom for the woman. The woman doesn't get the rights. So now we go to the other side. Oh, you know, we're forcing the women to do this and that. They don't get the rights of foolish people. The haq, the rights that Allah has given and Islam has given to the woman. No other way of life in the world. Why do you go naked and run out into the shopping centers, marketplaces and going here and there? This is not haq. This is not rights. Allah has given you the four walls of the home. O woman, the best way of living, the best secure way. Modesty, shame. Is this prison? You think that marriage is imprisonment? Is it? Allah Ta'ala, you think that ma'ashra society, has Allah given marriage to make society, fruitful society, success? Or does Allah want to do dhulam on the women? The shouting, women say, oh, we want the same rights as men, go out. Islam has equal rights for man and woman, totally equal rights Islam gives to man and woman. In Islam, the woman has the same level as the man. Rights. Equal rights. Yes? Whether it's regards to the world or the hereafter or paradise, in no phase has Allah put a difference between man and woman. Both faraid, the circle of life, yes, their roles are different. The way to live the life is different, but the rights are the same. Remember this point. In the world, the rights are the same. In Jannah, they are the same. And in between them, Allah hasn't said that for this reason the man's higher, he'll get more reward, the woman's lower. No. No. Rather, Allah has said, "Ar-rijalu qawmun an-nisa." Allah says that the woman and the man, the female and the male, none of them are better or higher than the other. Rather, the man and the woman, Allah Ta'ala has put equal rights but different roles. Difference in the lifestyle, in their birth, there's difference. In their power, there's difference. In their energy, there's difference. And in the faraid, there's difference. The faraid of man and woman, Allah has kept different. Different roles, different lifestyle. Equal rights. This is Sharia. So Allah's put a difference in the faraiz between the man and the woman. For example, Hazrat Hawa alayhi salam, she said that I've been created, O Adam, so that you, I can give you comfort and you can give me peace and happiness. So he's given the haq and she's given the haq. Both Allah Ta'ala has given them roles, different roles, unique roles, but the rights are the same. And Allah says that both sexes have the rights. The man has the rights and the woman has the rights. If, for example, it was told to the man, they are not greater, they're not high in status, their rights are the same as the rights of the women, equal rights, but the roles are different. This is what we need to understand. So there are specific rights that the man has to fulfill for the woman, and there are specific rights that the woman, the wife, has to fulfill for the husband. Both have to fulfill them, complete them, implement them. So how do we do this? That is how Islam totally comprehensively tells us these are the rights of the wife or the woman, these are the rights of the husband, the man. There are punishments if the woman doesn't fulfill her rights or if the husband doesn't fulfill his rights. So who has imprisoned the woman? How can Islam imprison the woman? This is a great, great way Allah has given for the man and for the woman. Can there be a greater blessing for the women folk? The way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given hukam and instruction for women, on which maqam Allah Ta'ala has spoken, how He's spoken by the woman, Hajjul Wida. In the final Hajj, in the final sermon, the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam instructed and ordered. What a great opportunity, the final Hajj. And in the final Hajj, the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, during the Hajj, he gave that statement, the authority, the instruction, that with regards to your women folk, fear Allah. The women folk are a trust to you. Allah has given the women folk as a trust to you. You've made a promise. Allah Ta'ala has given them to you as protection. Allah Ta'ala, you have to protect them, safeguard them. As Umar ibn al-As, he said that at the time of the Hajj, the Prophet ﷺ, after Hamd and Thana, when he gave the waz and he gave this the bayan, he said, listen carefully, that I am giving you nasiha, advice, and I exhort you to do good with your women. Treat your women nicely, fairly, properly. Yes, and you should not do oppression on your women folk. What a great right that Rasulullah gave to the women folk. Now, if people don't implement that, that's a different matter. Same way, three things Rasulullah gave nasiha direction: salah, importance of salah, alongside that, salah. Number one, Rasulullah says, establish your salah, don't leave your salah. Number two, with regards to your women folk, fear Allah with regards to how you treat your women folk. This is a trust that Allah Ta'ala has given to you. So the haquq, the rights, are very important. So such an opportunity, such an event, Hajjul Wida, the most, you could say, important symbol at that time, a very important symbolic event that took place. Such a great law was established with regards to the rights of the women. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated, خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ
خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِعَالِي وَعْنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِعَالِي خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِعَالِي وَعْنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِعَالِي.
So this is a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari that the best man from amongst all of you, he didn't say all night worship. He didn't say keep the fast all year long or nafal, voluntary fast. Not that person who goes on Hajj regularly. Rasulullah didn't say he who does tawaf the most. Or he didn't say that he has the most ilm knowledge. No, the best man from amongst you. Tell me, if Rasulullah is defining somebody as the best man, this is in Sahih Bukhari, what ibadah is it due to which the Prophet said that he is the best human being, man, male, subhanallah. The person who has fulfilled the rights of his wife, subhanallah. And you are like a monkey, you pray salah, fast, and then you keep your wife unhappy, you oppress her, dhulm. Best man is he who with his family and the members of his household, who presents himself in the best way. Again, Rasulullah said, the best man from amongst you is he who presents himself nicely with these household members. Subhanallah, what a great ibadah Allah has given. This is worship. Worship. Now can you make your wife like a slave and beat her with the sticks and force her to do things? No. Keep within the right circle. The right circle. Keep within that. Yes? How can you become so violent and aggressive in front of the wife? Allah says, where did I say to you that you're greater than or stronger than you are? No. Yes, you are stronger than her physically. Different, because you have to work physically in the world. Your rights are more. There are more rights that you have to fulfill for the wife. Remember this, O man, Allah says. There are more rights that you have to fulfill. The responsibilities of the man are more. Remember this. There are not as many responsibilities for the woman as there are for the men. Based on his maqam status. That's why Allah has given him certain strengths and capabilities. So haqooq, the rights, a very important subject for us to understand. Rasulullah has given us this guidance. We need to learn this guidance. First and foremost, the husband, he will be asked on the day of judgment, that did you fulfill the rights of your wife at home? Which rights did you fulfill? Yes, one haq is give her home to live, give her some expenditure, food to eat. She has no earnings, she has no house, she has nothing. And it becomes a chaudhri, says, I've got married. And she doesn't listen to my hukum. She doesn't listen to my orders. Umar radiallahu anhu stated, hadith in Bukhari, I'll explain to you again, that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when some of the wealth came via Khaybar, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would give expense to his wife. There would be dates at home, this is your share, and he would give the expense for the year, for a duration of time. And you spend on yourself and speak about others, and you don't give anything to her. If you say to her, you claim the social security, whatever money comes through, that's yours. Yes, and in their naqal, we follow the strange ways. Look at our society. Women, giving them education, it's not wrong. Yes, and for example, as long as there's no ghair mahram there, as long as there's nobody, no wrong, there's no problem in gaining the education. Make sure the daughter, the woman doesn't have to go to a place without parda. If there's education within the Sharia environment, that's fine. And to give education, make somebody a doctor or a dentist or accountant for this reason, so that she earns. So she leaves home and earns. That's not the right. After the rights are that after the marriage, she's earning all her life. Even after getting married, she's wandering around men folk and the husband, bagharat, without any modesties at home. She's earning, paying the mortgage, expense of the home. She's paying for the husband's expense. What do you do, husband? You sat at home, doing nothing. Bone idle. The Holy Prophet physically implemented the deen. For example, he'd give the expenses for the year. He'd give the food. He'd give the house to stay. Tell me. So Sharia, very clear guidelines. And Sharia has restricted the man to fulfill the rights of the woman. He has to fulfill the rights of the woman in a restrictive mode. All the expense, the necessity of the home, issues at home, children's upbringing, the man has to fulfill all of that. And he'll be asked about this. He'll be questioned about this. The same way, Allah has made a balance. Allah has made a balance, equilibrium. There are rights also on the other side. Yes, so if the man, he comes under the feet of the parents and he starts to abuse his wife, then he's a waster. And the wife, if we look at the wife now, the husband has been explained, that Tirmidhi hadith as well, that the best person who has good akhlaq and good manners with his wife, good conduct, great conduct with his wife. Akhlaq, what is akhlaq? Look here now. So we need to think this as well. That Hawa alayhi salam, how she was created from the rib of Adam alayhi salam, even from the left rib. As I told you, nature, fitrah, continues throughout the ages. So it's in the habit of the woman to be stubborn, to not be straightforward all the time. This is in the fitrah, the nature of the woman. Yeah, she's not also like an angel. Even they have their conditions and their habits. And the woman, for example, if she wants to make the house prosperous and happy, she also has to cooperate. And there are many rules and laws for the husband. Yes, Allah Ta'ala has made this for the male. So many rights he has to fulfill. Same way, There are the rights for the woman. She also has a situation she has to live in, a cycle of to get positivity in life. So she has to have akal, how to deal with the husband, how to live with the husband, the rights to fulfill for the husband. How should she deal? How should she live? There are examples of this, subhanAllah. For this, there's one key point, that how should she live a life? She knows that we know if, for example, if you try to straighten a crooked stick, it will break. So obviously the woman is made from the rib of Adam alayhi salam, which was crooked. If you try to straighten it, it will break. Hazrat Umar Farooq radhiyallahu anhu, and a man came to the Hazrat Umar radhiyallahu anhu with the complaint about his wife. He came to the door and he saw that Hazrat Umar Farooq radhiyallahu anhu wife, Umm Kulthum, this is Hazrat Ali radhiyallahu anhu's daughter, Fatima's daughter, and she was married to Hazrat Umar. They were relatives between them, subhanAllah. And Hazrat Fatima was Hazrat Umar's mother-in-law. Look at this. And this was her youngest daughter, and she got married to Hazrat Umm Kulthum, and she was his wife. And he came to complain, Hazrat Umar Farooq radhiyallahu anhu's wife. And there were, and between Hazrat Umar, there was some, you could say, exchange of words. She was speaking sharply. And so he thought in his heart, I have come with the complaint of my wife. And hey, this event's taking place inside. He said, subhanAllah. And he said that, what's the point? I've come with this complaint. And this event's taking place here. They're quarreling. There's an exchange of words. So he's about to leave. Then Hazrat Umar Farooq then saw him and said, come back. What's up? What's the matter? Why did you come? He said, the reason I came for, that situation's different. He said, what did you come with? He said, I came with a complaint of my wife, that she's pestering me and giving me trouble at home. And I saw at home that you've got a similar situation. I'm going back. Hazrat Umar Farooq radhiyallahu anhu, subhanAllah, his status, his differentiation, great. And always he was firm. He said, this is my wife, and I have rights on my wife. She has rights on me. Say, subhanAllah, Allahu Akbar. This woman, she has rights that I have to fulfill. These rights Allah has given. And my beloved master has told me, and I've understood this. He said that, look, the first point is, this is a great ni'mah for me, that she is a barrier for me between me and hellfire. She has saved me from haram, and saved my heart from haram. That, for example, this woman, that woman, looking for woman, and there are women everywhere. We see them in the phone, we see them everywhere. So Hazrat Umar radhiyallahu anhu said that she has saved me from haram. She's the barrier. And the wife, she should know how to fulfill that role of saving the husband from haram. Do you understand? You go out with makeup when you come home, and then you put the mirchan, the salt and the spices smell on your clothes. So you go out showing your body, they put spray, perfume on their face, on their clothes when they go home. When you have to come home, when the husband's got to come home in the evening, then there's spices and oil and salt on the clothes. Then tell me, what will be the hal of these women if they treat the husband like this? So Hazrat Umar radhiyallahu anhu said, this woman saved me from haram. And secondly, she's right one, when I go out, then she looks after my wealth and my home. Subhanallah, the qualities of the wife. Third point is that she washes my clothes. Fourth point, that she also looks after my children and brings them up nicely. And fifthly, she makes food for me, she cooks food for me. So all these things she does for me, then she has rights on me, isn't it? That, for example, if I oppress her or do wrong against her, if she's got rights against me, she can say things to me. Yes, he understood. He said, I've understood. Hazrat Umar radhiyallahu anhu, inshallah, there will be no more mistake after today. Subhanallah, he said. So these points, where have they come from? Where have these teachings come from? Where they learned from the beautiful life of Rasulullah, may we be sacrificed upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On his blessed life, Hazrat Umar Farooq learned from him, and look at the akhlaq the Prophet had with his wives. Hazrat Ummul Mu'mineen, Hazrat Safiya radhiyallahu anha, she said that I was on the journey of Hajj, and the Azwaj Mutarat, the other wives, were also present. And my camel, it sat down back at the back, and it wouldn't move. People, they came, they went forward further, and I was left on my own. Once I was left on my own, then I started to cry. Obviously, she was a woman. She started to cry. She said, I started to cry. I was on my own. And then I saw that the Holy Prophet came back. And he, when he saw me crying, then straight away he came to me, and with his hands and with his blessed sheet, he started to wipe my tears. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana. What was the Prophet? Amazing, amazing. The Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his wife's tears with his blessed hands and his sheet, he's wiping her tears with his blessed fingers. And with love and affection, he's explaining to her, telling her, and he's wiping her tears. And she said, I kept on crying. I was crying so much. And time again, he was saying to me, he was stopping me from crying. No, no, you don't need to cry. Don't cry. Be quiet. No problem. And I wasn't listening. I was crying uncontrollably. When I didn't go quiet, then with firmly said that, are you not going to be quiet? Subhanallah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana. What a beautiful event. Why? Because Allah's Nabi is explained to her that the more I tell her, the more she's freaking out, the more. Then he said, okay, you don't want to listen or not? Like that. Nicely and firmly. Then she said, I was quiet. This is showing the natural habits as a Safi Radhuna. What pure love and affection Rasul explained to her. And if he explained to her nicely, softly, she cried out more, shrieked out more. Obviously, the hands of Rasul, hands, his fingers, his blessed sheet on face. Then why would she feel like going quiet straight away? She wants to cry more, more barakah for her, more opportunity for me. Cry more so he loves me more and gives me more affection. But this is ta'leem. Rasul said, you're going to go quiet or not? Obviously, he was the husband. So this is the balance. The teachings, the great, when the haqq Allah has given to us, the rights we need to fulfill them. So the rights of the husband and the wife and the rights of the husband and the husband, both vice versa, balance, equilibrium. So what's the rights of the woman? Allahu Akbar. That woman who dies in this state, that her husband was happy with her. Allahu Akbar. That her husband was happy with, what a great statement, that a woman, if she pleases her husband through her life, the Prophet said in Tirmidhi, then for her, the goodness, the treasures are open everywhere. Is there any guarantee greater than this? That the woman who served her husband correctly kept him happy, and she didn't speak nonsense, she persevered through the difficulty. If the husband's angry, she has sabr, persevered. Obviously, sometimes the husband, you know, he's taken around the corner and wound up due to his wife. If he gets upset, then it's the right of the wife that the husband gets angry, a little bit down. She should be a bit soft and a little bit persevere with love explained to him. So Rasulullah said that if she dies in that state that her husband was happy with her, Rasulullah said that go, you are entered into goodness. You've gone to goodness. You have been entered into the treasures. You have no worries, no issues. Reward beyond reward. Such a great ibadah. Worship. This is for the woman to please the husband. This ibadah. Here where the women are running after divorce. He does this to me. Says this to me. He doesn't give me these rights. This is a great ibadah. Worship. That your fasting and hajj and dhikr. All at the back. First please your husband. Please. In the hadith is stated. Ibn Hammam. That woman who prays salah 5 times. Keeps the fast of Ramadan. And looks after her nafs and obeys her husband, then that woman, she can go into paradise from whichever door she likes. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana. Whichever door she wants to go into Jannah, the door of Jannah, paradise is open for her. Subhanallah. Heaven. Another hadith. About the rights of the woman on the husband. That the husband, for the woman is either hell or heaven. Either she can earn heaven for the husband, or she can make him unhappy and earn hellfire, the woman. Subhanallah. In hadith is stated, that woman, if she loves her husband, then she can enter into heaven, into paradise. Subhanallah. These are the signs, those women folk who love their husbands, this is the sign she will go into paradise. Definitely she will go into paradise. How such women can they will be left out of paradise when the husband is upset, when the wife takes the hand of the husband and says, till you're not happy, I won't go to sleep. Allah's Nabi said, such a woman who takes the hand of the husband and says that until you're not happy, my husband, I won't sleep, such a woman is going to paradise. She's deserved of paradise. Subhanallah. So sabr, patience, persevere, man and woman both. The man, when he's patient with regards to the woman, to the wife, he'll go into paradise. When the woman is patient with regards to her husband, she'll go into paradise. So brothers, these are the rights that Hazrat Adam alayhi salam came from paradise to the world. If today we want to make our homes paradise, then follow these principles and rules. Follow the lifestyle of the Prophet, follow his Sharia. And inshallah, the doors of paradise will be open for us. No, nothing to worry about at all. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the ability and capability to do amal on this. Ameen.